Well, last Sunday, we did a message called the Back to School Success Kit for our kids, because first Sunday is Family Sunday, and so we have all of our kids in service. As you notice, many of them are not here because they're back in Children's Church having their own service. They really do not like big service, which is really a mean thing to say when it's coming from your own children and your mom is the pastor. They're like, I don't care, I want to go to kids' church. Gee, thanks. But what they do like is they do like the awards. So Miss Lucy gave out 3 gift cards last week to the kids, who they did a fantastic job taking notes. So we pray that that word got in them. So today we're going to follow up with the Back to School Success Kit. I started titling this for parents, but I want to say for adults, okay? It's a little bit combination of both. But how many parents do we have in the room? If you have a child, oh, I got a lot. How many of you have kids who are in school from, yeah, so quite a few of you. All right. And then I see some of our high schoolers are in here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of help for those of us who don't have children. Don't act like this don't apply to you, because what I'm going to show you is maybe some places and areas that things may have lacked in your life and how you can kind of bring them back so that success can be taking place in your life too. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 127, Psalm 127, verse 3 through 4. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 4. And this is going to conclude our topic today on Back to School Success Kit. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the fullness of forgiveness. And I want us to, next week, we're going to be looking at this forgiveness topic, not just from the aspect of us giving it, but what does it look like for us to receive forgiveness? What does it mean for us to truly be forgiven of God? And so we're going to spend some time talking about how being forgiven and how giving forgiveness will shape your life. Somebody say amen. All right. That gave you some time to find it. Shall I start with jokes before we read? Because y'all look like y'all got excited and then like I jumped off a cliff or something. Let me tell you the jokes now. Yeah, why not? Okay, I just want you to know my jokes aren't great. I'm not a comedian, but they're good enough. Here's a few jokes to start us off today. One daughter asked her mom, "What's it like to have kids?" So her mother interrupted her every 11 seconds until she started crying. Y'all ever seen that commercial, that little TV, that cartoon where he goes, "Mom, mom, 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 mama, mama, mommy, mama." I was like, boy, if that cartoon don't stop, because that sounds like exactly what happens in my house. Okay, here's another one. You know you're a parent when it takes longer to get everybody in the car than it does to actually run an errand. Janae raised her hand. She got 3 kids. She was like, yes, Lord. Another mom said, "I have finally found the secret to a clean house. Don't ever let your children come inside." And here's one thing that I've discovered is I have never, ever, ever heard any parent say, parenting is easy. I've never heard anybody say that. So let's get into the word. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 4. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading, we're going to read from the New King James Version. Oh, I forgot. But before we do that, stick your finger in your Bibles. Hold your Bible or your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right. Psalm 127, 3 through 4. Let's read together. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of children. We thank you, Father God, for those of us who've had an opportunity to bear children and for those of us who are blessed to bear children spiritually. We thank you, Father God, that you have blessed them in our lives. And then, Lord, I pray that this morning we would be reminded of the blessing we have brought into our families' lives by being children who've come through our families. We pray, Father God, that you will shape our futures, that you will focus us, that you will help us to shape the destinies of the next generation. We love you, Father God. Move me aside, Holy Spirit. Come in and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I love this passage because in this passage in Psalm 127, we see David talking to people about how to build a household, how to build a solid home. And in the middle of this, he starts talking about children. And I know many of you, maybe your children don't live at home with you anymore, or maybe you don't have children. But when I talk about children, I want to make sure that we understand that we're not just talking about biological children. We're not just talking about the children you have and that have come from you, but also the children that you mentor, that you help to grow up. I have way more spiritual children than I have children in the natural. And God doesn't want us to just be, I love this phrase, we're not supposed to be, we're supposed to be a river and not a reservoir. And what that means is all that, have you ever thought that all the stuff that God has given you is really not about you? It's about who you can give what you got to. And so when we think about this, I don't want you to just think about kids. I want you to be thinking about the spiritual, the people that you're mentoring. And if you're not mentoring anybody, then this is a challenge for you. You ready? All right, so this passage says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are the legacy that we leave. Many of you don't realize it, but this church, you are a part of a legacy of a man who left the vision for this church. You are the heritage of that one man. Jeff Hurd, my husband, who has passed away. That's important because if we don't realize that we're leaving legacies, we'll forget what our purpose is. We'll think that everything that we do is about us. For our children in school, you know, they think it's all about what they get for their grades, and they think it's all about it. We should be telling our children, no, you are my legacy, so you better watch what you're doing because your legacy tells a lot about me. Y'all don't like that. You bear my name. If you're a man, you ought to really be on your kids. You bear my last name, boy. You are a Hurd. You are a Thompson. You are a Williams. This is who you are, and we don't act like that because you are my legacy. Y'all don't like this. It's okay. Somebody say amen. Pastor, I'm still here. He says the fruit of the womb is a reward. So children are rewards. You know, they don't feel like it all the time, though, do they? They feel more like a liability than an asset. But here's where I really want to focus today. Verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Each and every one of us are warriors. Each and every one of us are fighting battles, whether it's, you know, alcoholism, drug addiction, whether it's poverty, whether it's our hope for our future. Each and every one of you are a warrior. And the children or the people that come through you are the arrows that you shoot out to attack the enemy. I didn't make this up. The Bible says this. So I start asking myself the question, why did the Bible describe children or those of us, if you kind of think, you are the arrows that your parents shot out into the world. You are a direct result of what your parents put out in the world. And some of y'all are mad because you ain't like your parents. I'm not, why do I feel so alone today? I feel so by myself. You know why we don't like that? Because our parents didn't do certain things for us. Maybe they weren't there for us. Maybe they didn't give us what we needed. Maybe they weren't a loving. Oh, maybe they never told you I love you. I mean, this is what counseling is all about. Half the time, it's all about what your mama didn't give you and what your daddy should have given you. Right? But you are the arrow that came from your parents. And what's interesting is, bad or good, it made up who you are. And when you start thinking about your children and the people that will come after you, guess what? They are the arrows that you're shooting out into the world to attack the enemy. And you get to decide what kind of arrows you're shooting. Children are like arrows. Until we release them as adults, we have to spend time polishing them, sharpening them, straightening them, and aiming them in the direction of God's will. Because one day we're going to release them out of our homes. And we hope that they hit the mark that God has called them to. I don't know of any scarier thing than thinking about releasing my child in this world. Maybe y'all figured this out. Have y'all figured this out? This is the reason why some of us, we cry when they go to kindergarten. Can't believe they actually there. For those of you high school students, this is why your parents having fits right now. Because they like, we about to release them. They about to release them into the real world. They not ready. Right? It is difficult for us to think about this. But from the time they enter our womb, even before they come, if you are single and you don't have children, do you not know you are preparing your life to be able to get ready to prepare a new arrow to be released in the world? Because everything you've done up until the point you have a child is going to equip you to be a parent. If you are struggling financially, guess what? When you have a child, it ain't going to get no better. All the parents are like, sho ain't. Matter of fact, it get 10 times worse. They take all your money. You know what kids do that I really hate? See, my kids aren't in here. I tried to get them to come in so now I can tell stories about them. But you know what they do that I hate? You know how you eating something really good? And you down to the last bite? And you know what they say? Can I have some? Some of y'all good mothers say, you just take it. I don't do that. I'd be like, no. You should have got some on your own. You need to pre-plan. Don't be sitting here looking at my food. If you would have ordered it, you could have had it. No, you can't. I'm teaching you a valuable lesson right now. Life ain't all about you. Y'all wonderful parents are like, go ahead and have. No, you can't have my food. So what's the purpose of an arrow? Jim Elliot, who left a very promising career in the United States to serve as a missionary in South America, said, he told his parents when he made this decision, he said, quote, I do not wonder that you were saddened at the word of my going to South America. But remember how the psalmist described children? He said that they were as a heritage from the Lord and that every man shall be happy who had his quiver full of them. And what is a quiver full of but arrows? And what are arrows for but to shoot? So with the strong arms of prayer, draw the bowstring back and let the arrows fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's host. He was telling his parents, look, just pray for me. Release me to do what God's called me to do. Parents, we have to start asking ourselves the question, why did God give you the kids you have? There's a whole lot of other kids in the world, but why did you get those that you got? Why did God place them in your care? The purpose for us as parents is to let them go, and that has to always be in mind, even when they're born. Don't just think of this in terms of going off in missionary work. But you know what? We have to stop asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? That puts so much pressure on kids. Did you know what you wanted to be when you was growing up? Now, we saw stuff on TV. It was like, I want to be Batman. I want to be Superman. Right? If we watch shows about lawyers, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor. But we don't know. What we should be telling our children is, let me help you get to hear what the Lord wants for your life. Because if I can teach you to hear God's voice, you will always be aiming at the right target. How many of us have grown up shooting arrows at stuff that we don't even know we want? We just did it because they said I needed a major. I need a job. They say this is a good way to make some money. And so many of us start doing stuff because that's how we're supposed to make money. Not because that's what God's called us to do. That's what God has purposed us to do. And then we get in our 30s and 40s and we're trying to get back to our purpose and our passion. And we realize we can't do that because I got bills to pay. Do you not know, young folks, you're supposed to be pursuing your purpose and your passion while you ain't got no money? Because if you fail, it's just you. You'd always go back home. Well, maybe. You can't come to my house. But you, right? You have some sort of a chance to recover because you're young. You should be making mistakes trying to figure out what you like to do now. I really hate that we put this pressure on our kids. What are you going to do? Find out. Watch your children. See what they're good at. And then you start saying, well, maybe try this. Try to exposure changes everything for your child. And if you're here and you're saying, I don't have any children, exposure changes everything for you. Well, how do I get exposed? The best free location to get exposure is in everybody's community. It's called a library. Best free exposure you'll ever get. Because you can read a book about anything, and it will change your mind. And when your mind gets changed, it'll change your life. I remember I told my mother, because my mother asked me when I was a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a history teacher because I loved history. My mother was a teacher, and you know what she told me? She said, no, you ain't going to do that. I said, Mama, but I love history. She said, yeah, but they don't make no money. You can't be no teacher. She wasn't thinking about the ability to shape lives. She didn't care. She's like, I'm broke. You ain't going to be broke. I ain't worked this hard for you to be broke. That's what my mama would say. Now, some of y'all are like, amen, because y'all from that generation. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm in agreement to a point. Do not go off to school and major in something you can't get a job in. I want to major in art history. What you gonna do with that? Now, if you have a plan for how you're gonna use that, then go read books on art history and get a job in business. Get a degree in business. Y'all not, okay, I'm fussing. Am I fussing? Why am I saying all of this? Because we're putting so much pressure on our children today to make a decision about something that they're not equipped to make a decision about. That's the reason why most people do not work in the areas they went to college for. This snaps like this is, come on. I'll take an amen or a clap. You can snap, you do whatever you want to do. I'll take it. Let me explain to you what the ultimate goal of you as a parent, what the ultimate goal of your parents should have been with you. The ultimate mission of the family is not to protect your children from all harm, but is to mobilize your children for the mission of God. It is to mobilize your kid for the mission of God. It is for your parents should have mobilized you for the mission of God in your life. And if you didn't get that, praise God for coming to this church, because I'm going to help mobilize you for the mission that God has called you to do. Why is that so important? Because if we miss that, we think that success is about how much money we got, about where our house is, about the type of car we drive. That is not about the degree we got and from where we got the degree from. That is not success. You will get caught up into making decisions for yourself and for your children based upon the world's view of success. But if you grab the idea that my job is to mobilize my child to be ready to do what the Lord is calling my child to do, to make sure that they are gifted, to make sure that they have had exposure, to make sure they know how to hear from the word of God, to make sure that they're not following what the world is saying, but they're following what God is saying, then I am preparing, watch this, my arrow to go out and destroy the work of the enemy in this world. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three ways to prepare and mobilize your children for the mission that God has called them to. Three ways. The first one is you have to teach your children to connect to God. And if you're here and you're saying, how do I mobilize myself? Let me take it like this. I'm going to be your spiritual mama today. I want you to be mobilized for success. Here's what you must do. You must connect with God. And if you're a parent, you must teach your children to connect with God. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You, being a parent, shall teach them diligently to your children. Do you know what that means? That means you shouldn't just teach your kids every now and then about the word. You shouldn't pray with your children randomly. Diligently means I'm constantly doing this. I love that you're here today. I'm so happy you're here today. But bringing your children to church should be a constant. Bringing your children to a place where they can hear the word of God and they can grow should be a constant in their life. And it says, and you shall talk of them, being the word. What are your conversations like when you talk to your kids? Are you talking about godly things? Are you talking about the word of God? Because it says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Here's newsflash. Whoever is in your home, y'all should have a time, a couple of times a week, where you sit at the table and you talk. And eat. I got like one amen. Turn the TV off and talk. Somebody said, what? If you don't have children, guess what? This is why the church is so important. Because the church is the place where you ought to be having fellowship with folks, where you turn the TV off and you sit down and you talk with them about what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing in your life. Talk with them. This is why Bible study is so important, because Bible study is a place where we get to talk. See, on Sundays, I'm standing here and I'm like halfway yelling at y'all. You don't get to have feedback, but on Wednesday nights, you get to have discussion. In small groups, you get to talk. You get to do what Deuteronomy 6:6 through 9 says. So when you're doing this, what's happening is you are teaching people how to connect with God. You're teaching your children how to connect with God. To sit there and just say, go connect with God, go pray, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know how to do that. They don't know unless somebody teaches them. And that is our responsibility as spiritual leaders and our responsibility as parents to make sure that you understand. This is why I say in this church, I love this church because I'm not going to leave you out there and say congratulations for being saved. Good luck with that. We have classes like Operation Solid Lives, which help you learn how to talk to God and how to connect with God and how to hear from God for yourself. Because if I'm about to train my child to go into the world, one thing that my kid has to know is how to hear God's voice. I don't care what college you go to. I don't care if you don't go to college. I don't care if you go become the president of the United States. You, boy, you better know how to hear from God. Because if you don't know how to hear from God, how are you going to know how to do what God has called you to do? And don't sit here and act like you can, your kid's too young for that. We have in Bible studies 10 and, what, 8-year-olds? 9 and 10, 9 and 11-year-old kids that are in Bible study that are getting revelations out of the word like nobody's business. To the point that all of us adults are like, dang, that's deep. We are learning from children. And guess what? When you bring, some of y'all are like, well, I don't know the word well enough. You know what? Just give them what you got. Give them what you got. I only know one passage of scripture. That's fine. Go through it every day, over and over and over again. I had an aunt. Bless her heart. She wasn't a very good parent because she used to beat us all the time. And I used to spend my summers with her in rural Alabama, which meant there was, we didn't have no TVs worth nothing. It was like one television channel on because we was in the country. You know, signals. You didn't have Game Boys and all, so you had to go outside and play. Your entertainment was the people in your house. There was no neighbors because you want to look. Come on, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We had those little mobile homes on like 5 acres of land. So your neighbors was nowhere nearby. So you play with your cousins. And my aunt, when I would stay with her in the summer, she would make us memorize the one scripture she knew, which was Psalm 23. And every day we had to say Psalm 23 and talk about it with her. And if we messed it up, she would beat us. I said, she told you she wasn't the best parent. And I hated her at that time for that. I remember when my father passed, she's my father's sister. When my father passed, I went and I was like, there go that evil Aunt May. And yeah, I said her name. And I told Aunt May, I said, Aunt May, I said, I'm still mad at you. She said, girl, I don't care. I said, I'm still mad at you because you beat me. Because I didn't know scriptures sometimes. She said, you know what? She said, I wish I'd have beat all of them like I beat you. She said, because the ones that I put the scripture in and I beat, y'all stayed out of jail. Y'all are serving the Lord. You know God. She said, and the ones I got tired on, they all in jail. She said, I should have beat them all. Now, I'm not telling you to go beat your kids if they don't know the word. But what she did was she gave us what she had. All she knew and all she had was that one scripture, and she felt like if we memorized Psalm 23, that we were going to get the word in us and that it was going to be enough. And for one summer, I got beat quite. I learned that scripture real fast, by the way. And it was like first day she beat me. I was like, I just got here. She's like, I don't care. You need to know the word. Give them what you got. Don't try to be too fancy with this. Don't try to be like, I got to be like Pastor. I got to be like Pastor Jim. You ain't got to be like nobody. If all you know is Jesus wept. Let me tell you something, kid. You're going to learn this scripture. Jesus wept. Amen. What does that mean? I don't know. What you think it means? Then your kid be dropping revelation. You be like, yes! Look, we are responsible for our children's spiritual development. I don't care if they go to a Christian school or not. The school's not responsible. The church is not responsible. We are. And we're leaving too much of that responsibility to everybody else. Let me say this. Pastor B talked about this in a message a few months ago, but I want to share with you that it's important to prophesy over your children. When we talk about connecting them to God, it's important to hear what is God saying for my child and to speak that to your child and over your child. The Bible tells us prophecy is not just, look, because some of y'all are like, I don't know what no prophecy is. Prophecy is not like, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a doctor. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is this. Prophecy is finding the gold in someone and calling it out. What does that mean? What do I see that's good in you? And let me share that with you. How many times, some of y'all high school students are like, my parents only tell me what's wrong with me. So tired of them telling me I should be doing it. But you know what we really want to hear? Is we really want to hear what we're doing right. We really want to hear how good we are. Because we need that assurance. Because nobody else is telling our kids who they are and what's good about them. If you look at TV, everything on TV is about how you are not like that. You ain't 5'3", blonde-haired, skinny with blue eyes. Well, maybe. So if I don't meet the mold on TV, or a 5'10", whatever, if I don't meet the mold on TV, then every word is coming at me negatively. But parents and spiritual leaders have the opportunity to begin to speak gold in people's lives, to be able to pull that treasure that's inside of them out and say, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're smart, you have a purpose, God has a plan for your life. This is not, so, look, you're going to do greater things than this. Life is so much bigger than the F you got on that test. Boy, come on, we're going to get this. You got to remember Galatians 6:7 that says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you are sowing into your children is what you're going to get out of them. Whatever you are speaking over your children is the type of children you're going to get. Whatever was said over you became who you were for a long time before you met Jesus. You ain't no good. You ain't going to ever be nobody. You just like your no good daddy. So you know what you begin to think? I'm not very good, am I? I'm probably never going to be good at anything. We start those words that were spoken over. But come on, praise God. You got a new spiritual mama. We're going to put some words over you that God has said. And those words will break every curse that's been spoken over you and destroy those things so that you can be the person that God has called you to be. Prophesy over your children. Sow words of encouragement over your children. Now, the most powerful example I can give you of that could be found yesterday. And it is Richard Williams. Richard Williams is the father of Serena and Venus Williams. Richard Williams is from Compton and in the 70s happened to read a book about tennis. Took a couple tennis classes and before he had children said, I'm going to have daughters and I'm going to make them tennis champions. It's a man from Compton. A man who ain't seen no tennis champions. A man, all he's doing is seen them on TV, read a couple books about them. That's why I say books are so important. Because it was the book that changed his life. Do you not know that that man put together a 78-page plan on how he was going to build tennis champions before he had the kids? Come on, y'all. Y'all sitting here talking about, I ain't got no kids. You better start prophesying and speaking over the children you don't even have yet. His girls, Venus and Serena, were 4 and 5 years old when he took them to the tennis courts. And he began to speak over them, you are a champion. You're going to the U.S. Open. Some of you have seen some of his words in recent Nike commercials where it talks about being a girl from Compton coming out of the Compton concrete who are making and becoming champions in tennis. And watch this. He's speaking words over them when they're 10 and 11 as they're serving. Okay, when you're in the U.S. Open and you serve before a final, this is what it's going to look like. He was prophesying over them. He told them, you're going to be champions. He said, champions have 4 qualities. They are rough, tough, strong, and mentally unbelievably sound. And he spoke that over his girls. And he said that about Venus, but he said, wait a second. I'm not even going to use the word greatness for Venus because you ain't seen greatness till you seen a little sister Serena. People were like, Venus is the best. Venus, they were 12. You know what he said? You don't know her sister. He prophesied. prophesied over her that her tenacity would enable her to soar. She would be strong. He said, once she gets a hold of you, she will never let you go because she plays better angry than she does when she's comfortable. That's what he said about her when she was 10 years old. She was mad yesterday. She still lost. But she got mad at the, yeah, she was upset. But what I watched was in 1998, the crowd at U.S. Open booed her because she was an African-American playing a sport they said she shouldn't have been in. They called her father the N-word when he got in the stands. And she won. She sat down in the middle after playing so bad, she got mad and she prayed. And once she prayed, she came back, and exactly the words that her father spoke over her, get her mad. She plays better when she's down than she does when she's up. She makes more comebacks. That's why she was so upset yesterday. She felt like her comeback was taken from her. Watch this. Her impact, we talked about legacy. Richard Williams' impact is not just found in Venus and Serena. The girl who won the championship, 20-year-old Naomi Osaka, half Japanese, half Haitian, she said, I sat in these stands and I saw Serena play when I was a little girl. And they asked her the day before when she won her chance, got a chance to go to the finals. They asked her, they said, how do you feel about playing Serena? What do you want to say to her? She said, I just want to tell her I love her. There was a potential to have four women of color in the U.S. Open semifinals. Sloane Stephenson, Madison Keys, Naomi Osaka, and Serena Williams. Those three other women of color will tell you very clearly that if it had not been for Venus and Serena, I wouldn't be here. And I say, if it hadn't have been for Richard Williams prophesying words of gold over his girls and telling them in the face of every obstacle imaginable, this is who you are and this is who you will be, our world would be completely different. That is a legacy. That's what you get to do. That's what it looked like when you shoot an arrow into the world to destroy the enemy. You change cultures. I'm going to have to finish this real quickly because that's probably the most important one, but I'm going to give you just two. I'm not going to give you all three. I'll quickly give you the third one. Here's the second one. So the first thing is you got to connect them to God. The second thing you got to do is you got to teach them discipline. If you want your child to be successful, if you want your child to be on the mission that God has given them, you must teach them to be disciplined. Let me explain to you why. If you want to be successful, you better learn how to get disciplined. I've not met a person who is serving the Lord, who is successful, who is doing what God's calling to do, living their passions and dream, who is not disciplined. Now, most of y'all, when I say you got to teach them discipline, the first thing you think about is beating them. I ain't saying you got to beat your kids all the time. When I'm talking about discipline, I'm talking about you've got to correct them and shape them. Discipline, in this definition, I'm going to say this. It is the ability to do what you need to do when you don't feel like doing it. We think discipline is, oh, they're about to whoop me and put me on punishment. No, what we're doing as parents is we're teaching you how to do what you need to do when you don't feel like doing it. Why am I encouraging you to come to Bible study? Why am I saying Bible study is important? I got so many other things. You know why? Because you don't feel like coming. And if I can teach you to do and study the word when you don't feel like it, watch this. Studying the word will be normal, and studying the word will be something that has become a habit for you. And now it's not hard for me to study the word no more. If you get in the discipline of coming to church on Sundays, coming to church don't become a problem for you no more. If you get the discipline, come on somebody, if you teach your children a discipline of doing their homework, work won't be so hard for them. We must discipline our children and teach them if we teach our children how to exercise, do you not know that when they get old, exercise won't be a problem? I'm not talking about let your kids play sports. That's a part of the discipline. But some of the real discipline is when the coach ain't there, what are you doing? You know what my boys and I are working on right now? We're working on, what are you doing 6 days a week to get better in your sport? You need to do something every day. I don't care if it's not working out. What book are you reading about baseball? Reading a book about baseball, mama don't like to read. That's the reason why you're struggling. Because you don't want to do what you don't feel like doing. You don't feel like reading, so you don't read. But my job is to discipline you, to show you how to do it, and to make sure you can. Come on, let me tell you something, parents, because I'm going to get on this. I got to get out of here. Parents, I want to say something to you. Stop acting like my kid is going to get it together on their own. Wonk, wonk, wonk. I'm going to give you a clue. You have some wonderful children. Some of y'all, I don't. They're great kids, but let me explain it. You have some wonderful children who just naturally, they like to study, and they like to get A's, and they they want to come home, and they want to read. God bless you if that's the kind of child you have. You ought to praise the Lord and be super excited and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But for the rest of us, we're going to have to work to create discipline so our kids will do what they're supposed to do. We have to create discipline to make our children read. We have to create discipline to make our children do their homework. And how do we do that? We have disciplined homes. If our home is so disciplined that when you come home, this is what you do. Before we do this, we do that. Now, some of y'all, I'm not of the philosophy, as soon as you come home, start doing your homework. Not for my children. They're too rambunctious. They need to get some energy out. So we have an hour of dead time after school where you eat your snack, you watch TV, you play basketball, you do whatever you want to do. But after that hour, boo, let's go. And we on it. And the whole house gets quiet. Watch this. If you're going to create discipline, you got to get involved in the discipline. Yeah. Yeah. You can't sit there and watch TV. Go do your homework while I watch Big Bang Theory. That's so funny. Kids can hear that in the house going, oh my God, I wish I could go watch Big Bang Theory too. Get involved. You show them and demonstrate discipline by saying, okay, maybe when it's homework time, I can see. If your kids are little, you probably need to sit there with them and correct it and check it and do all those things. But if your kids are older, sit there. Yes, my kids are in high school, and I still be sitting down with them. And you know what I do? I read my book. I work on my business. I work on church services. I work on sermons. But I sit there with them, and they see a computer in front of me while they sitting there working on their iPads. Now, my oldest was like, I want to go to my room. I was like, I don't trust that. What are you doing? You are showing them discipline. You are teaching them how to be disciplined so that when you shoot them in the world, discipline won't be a problem. They're going to feel weird if they get off of a schedule and don't study on schedule. Look, teach your children the discipline of looking ahead in school. Teach them the discipline. Look, every Sunday night or during the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, yesterday we did it, but we usually will do it on Sunday. We sit down and we look at what's coming up for the week. Here's everything we know right now. Now, I know things will change, but here's what we know. You want to be successful in your life? Take 1 hour the night before on Sunday and look at what you got coming up this week. What do you have coming up with work? What do you have coming up? You know, plan out. Look at a schedule. Like, actually schedule stuff on the schedule. Some of y'all are like, oh, I don't do that. I mean, just kind of whatever. I go to work 8 to 5, and then whatever happens, happens. And that's the problem. Wonder why I haven't been working out lately. You ain't scheduled it. You have to put it, look, get the discipline in your life and demonstrate it to your children. All these things are so important. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 talks about discipline. He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Now I'm saying this, what children are not taught, let's take that word discipline and say, what children are not taught that you need to do what you need to do now and put off what's fun later? We as parents have to teach that. And if we do that, the Bible says in verse 11 of that passage, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Folly is bound up in the heart of your child, but the rod of discipline will get it out. Most people think if I beat them, it'll come out. No, if you create structure where they are learning how to do what they don't feel like doing, it's going to come out. This goes with cleaning their house, too. Stop telling them just clean the house whenever. Schedule it. This is cleaning time, people. Make them clean. All right, so that's kind of what I have for you. This one's a good one. For those of you parents, I just wanted to share this with you. For those of you parents, and I talked about sitting down with your child when they do homework, you can quiz them and be their study buddy so that when they go off to school, they'll learn how to have a study buddy. I actually quiz my children on their when they get ready to have tests. They create flashcards, and I make sure they have them and know them. My kids are in high school. Some people are like, you're too involved. He ain't going to do it if I don't. If I don't teach him, he ain't going to do it. How many kids get left? Did you do it? There you go. All right. Quiz them verbally. Write up a written test for them. Go over flashcards. If they have a book and they learn verbally, read to them. It's okay if you read to them. Now, don't read the whole book to them, but you can read to them. Let them read out loud to you. Listen to audiobooks together. These are all things you can do. Now, I want to hit this one of my favorites, and then I'm going to close. Math. How many of y'all love it? Like two of y'all. It was three of them, and two of the three don't have kids right now. So the two who had said, yes, I love math, raise your hand again. Take a look at them. Those might be the two people you want to call. Now watch this. If you hate math, stop acting like you are helpless. We are living in modern technology. There is so much technology to help you. High school students, listen to me real close. Here's some tools that will help you with math. Okay, y'all might be too old for it. PhotoMath is an app. They laughing because they like, oh yeah. They already know. PhotoMath is an app. For those of you who hate math but you want to help your kids with math, PhotoMath is a little app where you use the video camera on your phone, you take a picture almost of the problem, and PhotoMath will give you the solution. And not only will it give you the solution, it will show you step by step how you get to that solution. So if you don't know how to do the problem, say, hold on, chief. Click, click. This is what I got. Now, it doesn't work for word problems. Call those two ladies who had their hand up. What it works for is for algebra 1 and below. A little bit of geometry, but not too much. Some algebra 2 work, but not too much. Primarily algebra 1 and below. Okay? So use that. If that's too much, here's something that's amazing. Khan Academy, K-H-A-N. Khan Academy, and both of these apps are absolutely free. They cost you nothing, so you don't have an excuse to say, I can't afford to teach my kids math, I can't afford a tutor. Get PhotoMath and get Khan Academy. Khan Academy does videos to show your kids how to do the work for free. You can type in the subject, you can type in the name of the chapter they're on, and Khan Academy will show you how to do it and give them sample problems. Okay? So I just wanted to help you, to help your kids be disciplined. Okay? The last thing, my third and final point is this, relax. Really. Relax. Stop stressing over your kids. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. So many times we get stressed out. They got an F on that test. You know what? In the grand scheme of life, they're going to be all right. How many Fs did you get? You turned out pretty good. So stop stressing. Relax. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Make sure you have new mercies for your kids each and every morning. All right, I'm done. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Hope that was helpful. PhotoMath and Khan Academy. For those of y'all who are sitting here, those are the two best resources I gave you all day. And then those two ladies with their hands up. They're like, no, don't call me. I don't like to tutor. I do like to tutor. You can call me if you need help. I love math. You maybe even be able to call Alex, too. He likes math. All right. So what do I want you to do with this message? Realize you've got some arrows. You're going to shoot them out. Pay attention to where you're shooting them and how you're shooting them. Pay attention to the legacy that your kids are going to leave. Start building that legacy now. Whether you have kids or whether your kids are grown, start building it now. I want to pray for you. If you're a parent, lift your hand. I want to just pray for you. Father, I thank you for every parent in this room. Lord, I pray that you will help them, first of all, to connect with you. If you're here today and you've never connected with Jesus Christ, it's going to be very hard for you to connect your kids back to a God you don't know. I want to encourage you to start working on your relationship with God. We're going to have some prayer leaders. Prayer leaders, come on up. They're going to be up front. At the end of service, and you're here, if you're here and you're saying, hey, I want to connect with Jesus, maybe I used to be connected, but I'm not anymore. Or maybe I just want to connect deeper because I realize how important it is now. They're going to be here to pray with you after service. But Lord, I thank you for every person with their hand lifted. I pray for all of our parents, God, that you would lead them and guide them. Show them. Give them a vision. Lord, Jeremiah 29:11 says that you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Those plans are to grow us, not harm us, to give us hope and a future. I pray that every parent will see the vision you have for their child. I pray that every parent will speak into that vision over their child. I pray that every parent will begin to prophesy your word over their child. I pray, Lord, that they will begin to discipline them and help them to learn how to do what they don't feel like doing when they don't feel like doing it. I pray, Father God, that you'll help these parents relax. These kids are still yours. You still got them in control. They're still in your hands. I thank you, Father God, for this message today. And I want to pray for our two high school students that I see. Come on over, our two high school students. Jennifer, will you just come right here. I just want to pray for them. We prayed for our students last week. They weren't here, but because they're both athletes. These are two of my favorite high school students that I know. Well, I have two of the three. Jeffrey. Would y'all extend your hand to them? We want to pray for them. Naya's a senior. We really want to be praying for her that she will know what the Lord is calling her to do. As a sophomore, that God will begin to speak to them. Father, we pray that you would speak to our high school students, that they would know. Are there any other high school students I'm missing? No. Father, I want to pray that you would speak to them, that they will know your word. They will hear your voice. I thank you that they're here this morning connecting with you. Father, I pray that they will know exactly the target, the mission, the call that you have on their life. May they learn to hear your voice. May they learn to distinguish it from the voice of the enemy and from their own, from their parents. May they begin, Father God, to lead and lean in to following you. I pray that the pressure would be removed from our senior because I feel like seniors can be so stressful. I pray that the pressure would be removed from getting it right, from picking the right school, from picking the right topic or the right degree, and that, Lord, you will free her to know that wherever you send her, lead her and guide her, that you have a purpose and plan, and she's going to be amazing. She's going to do great things for you. I thank you, Lord, for each of them. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. If you're here today and you're saying, I need to connect with the Lord, please come on up at the end of service. But I dismiss you in the Lord. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be? Blessed. Give somebody a hug. Tell them it was good to see you. And hey, practice saying something good about somebody.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.